Lord God, you've declared that your kingdom is among us. Open our eyes to see it, our ears to hear it, our hearts to hold it, and our hands to serve it. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture today is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Listen for the word of the Lord. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his sons to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those that confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This ends the reading of God's holy word. May God add many blessings to the hearing of it. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Gracious and loving God, we've come here this morning and gathered in your name to worship you. Enable us to hear your call in our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts here together be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Our Lord, our Rock, our Redeemer. Amen. I remember when I was in seminary, two of my friends decided for one of their theology classes to have a contest. They were writing about God's love, and they decided to see who could fit the most song titles into their paper. And they had to do it in a way that was subtle, that hopefully the professor wouldn't notice. And they had two different professors. This class was team taught. One of the professors was clueless and thought the paper was brilliant. The other commented that Calvin sounded about a little musical this week. If you think about it, there are so many song titles that include the word love. Bonnie Raitt sang, "I Can't Make You Love Me," while Whitesnake said, "I Want to Know What Love Is." The Four Aces answered that by saying, "Love is a many splendored thing," to whom Pat Benatar responded, "Love is a battlefield." Joe Cocker and Jennifer Warren said, "Love lifts us up where we belong," but the Supreme said, "Well, you can't hurry love." Hadaway, which was made famous by Saturday Night Live, asked, "What is love?" And the Beatles told us, "All you need is love." I thought about actually asking everyone to type in the chat a song title that had the word love and seeing how many we could get before one repeated itself, but I thought that might take up too much time, and I was honestly a little nervous about trying something new like that and thought we might get lost in it. But love is a theme that appears again and again in music. And it's because it's such a powerful theme. I've said before, and I argue that love is the central theme of the Bible as well. The Bible is about God's love as shown in creation, about God's love as shown in calling us to be God's people, God's love shown in the guidance of the people of Israel, God's love shown in sending Jesus to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God's love shown in Jesus' willingness to die for us. God's love shown in the resurrection. God's love shown through the Holy Spirit calling us to be the church, to follow Christ, to sustaining us even this day. If I had to pick up one word to sum up Scripture, it's love. God's love for us. Scripture is also about our call to love others. Remember Jesus' words when he was asked what the greatest commandment was. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second, like it is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing." Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God. A second, just like it, is to love neighbor. He says all the prophets, all the law hang on this. Love God, love neighbor. This is especially true in today's passage from 1 John. 1 John is the epistle of love. Love is mentioned repeatedly. In fact, in our passage today, it's mentioned 26 times alone. So I want you to think for just a moment about where you have seen God's love. Now, last week when we met, I spoke about how we're called to love us with a sacrificial love. But I didn't answer the question of why we're called sacrificial love, or about why we should love. Our passage today answers that very question. It begins, "Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. What does that mean? They're certainly not synonyms. You don't say to your spouse, to your friend, to your child, "I God you." So what does it mean to say God is love? And it seems like a very strong statement to say that anyone who does not love does not know God. So how is God love? Who does God love? While humanity is the easiest answer, we have to remember that God is eternal and humanity is not. So who did God love before creation? The statement "God is love" speaks to the necessity of the Trinity. Theologians have argued that true love begins among equals. They write that love of someone higher than you is seen as either self-serving or coercion. Love of someone lower than you can be seen as charity. So only love of someone equal to you is love beyond reproach. And who is equal to God? Humanity isn't, creation isn't. Nobody, nothing is equal to God. So for God to love, God has to love God. For God to be love, God has to first love God. Because of that, we have the three persons in the Trinity. For God to love God, there has to be three distinct personalities to love. God loves God the Father loves God the Son loves God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit loves God the Father. In the Trinity, we see that God is in community with another. God is in relationship with one another. God is loving one another. So if we go back to the beginning of Scripture, we see that humanity was created in God's image. We were created in the image of the triune God, the three persons of the Trinity in community with one another, loving one another. We see that we were created to be in community. We were created to love. So if God is love, then we are created to love. If God is love, then if we don't love, we do not know God. We love because God loves us and because God created us to love. That's the gist of what John wrote here. God is love, and if we don't love, we have not seen God. But he also goes on to say how we're to love. This passage says that the embodiment of God's love is that God sent us his only son so that we might live through him. In Christ, we see God's love made flesh. In Christ, we see God's love in action. In Christ, we experience God's love among equals. For Jesus was fully human just as we are fully human. And we experience the fullness of Christ's love. And Christ expressed his love through service. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And he expresses his love through sacrifice. And we see what God's love looks like. No one has seen God, but the love of God should be seen in us by loving each other. We cannot see God, and the world cannot see God, but the world is supposed to see the love of God in us by the way we treat each other. We are convincing people that the invisible God truly exists. We prove God by the love we show for each other. God's love, which originated in God, was revealed in Christ, is perfected among God's people. God's love is perfected when it's reproduced in us and among us, the community of faith. In this community of faithful believers, we see God's love has its ultimate fulfillment. We see God's love and act upon that love by loving others. Then God's love is made complete in our lives. Then God's love is being brought to completion on this earth because we are carrying out God's purpose. The world cannot see us or cannot see God, but can see us. Can see the church, can see the body of Christ. And if God is love, then God is revealed by us loving others, by us caring for others, by us serving others. I asked you earlier, where have you seen God? And I wonder how many of you thought of nature, about the beaches or mountains, maybe the warmer weather we're experiencing, the beauty of creation. I wonder if you, how many of you thought that you've seen God's love in Christ, in his willingness to die for us. And I wonder if any of you would have answered that I have seen God's love through our siblings in Christ, through our fellow believers, through people who've impacted me in my life, or even the people on the screen in front of you. I'm in several groups for clergy, and we talk and chat back and forth. And this past week, one person put on social media that he had a congregation member come to him and say, I'm not being fed, and asked how should he respond. One person said, whenever I hear that, my first response is, how are you feeding others? At first, I thought that seems like a harsh response. It's definitely not the most pastoral response, but it's an appropriate response. It's a theological response. I'm not being fed. Well, who are you feeding? It's not all about what we get, but about what we give to others. How am I being fed? Well, how are you feeding others? So maybe the question isn't where have you seen God's love, but where have you shown God's love? Where have your actions pointed to the fact that God is love? Where have your actions pointed to the invisible God who loves us? Where has your love pointed toward Christ? Where has your love been an example of God's love being perfected in us? I want to close by quoting Episcopal priest Stephen Carlson. He wrote, "Having been loved by God, we likewise must love. And not just those closest to us, or those who are easiest to love. Our love must extend to places and to people where love is foreign, where love is absent, where faith in love has faded or died. To be loved by God is to be given a mission, to take this bold faith to those who just cannot accept it, to the destitute, the broken, to those who have lost hope, and not to tell them that this improbable truth, but to show them it is true, through our lives and our actions. No one will believe it unless they see it in us. God is love, and we love because he first loved us." Amen.